You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey, friends, welcome to Mesmerized. We are in our series right now, Know Before You Go. And last week we talked to college kids, and that was super fun. My daughter and her friend Molly. If you missed that one, go back. Wow, you guys, the feedback was amazing. So many of you reached out and said how much you enjoyed that, how much you learned from it, and that you want them back. And so, yeah, we'll do that again in the fall sometime. Talk to those college girls maybe about dating. This week, though, we're talking high school. And if you haven't figured out, I've just pretty much roped my kids into this and their friends. And so this week, my son Brett will be with us, and then his friends Ella and Riley. All three just graduated from high school. All three are going to college. And all three, weirdly enough, I didn't realize till we started talking, are going to A&M in the fall. And so I realize, and I want you to know this, I realize this is just a limited demographic of what high school kids may have seen, experienced, might be feeling. Yet nonetheless, I wanted to grab people, individuals, kids that I knew would be open and willing to discuss what they've walked through the last several years. And I think there's lots to learn in here. I think what they're saying is valuable, but if you really, really listen like you do as a parent, what they're not saying and kind of the story behind the story, I think is so valuable. I know for me, I took away a lot just on how much our kids learn through the hardship, through the loneliness, through the not feeling good enough. There's so many valuable lessons in that are so hard as parents, but I feel like that was one of the messages I took away from the conversation today. Also, just making sure our kids feel like we're validating their feelings. Thought that was a good point they made, and just listen for how they talk about their faith and how their faith shows up in interesting places in high school. So I know you're going to enjoy this. I'm really proud of these three for being willing to jump on a podcast and talk about their high school years, and praying for them and all of these kiddos we know right now that are preparing to go to college. Big change is coming. And y'all can be praying for me because I am not well with Brett leaving. I said on my other podcast, Sidetracked, I keep saying that I have narcolepsy of crying. Like I'm fine one moment, the next minute I'm totally crying. Brett plays the piano, and the other day he was playing a song on the piano, and I just sat there like tears running down my face, and I'm like, it's gonna be so quiet. So yes, for all of you getting ready to send kids to college, I'm with you. It's going to be an interesting few weeks as we get them loaded up and packed up. But I'm so grateful for today's show. Hey, one other thing. Next week, we're doing junior high. And we've already taped it. My friend Stephanie Martin is coming on. I'm just telling you something. Even if you don't have junior high or middle school kids, you need to listen to next week. Woo! She has some incredible wisdom. I was blown away. And she's a good friend, and I get to talk to her all the time. But I was really, really... I was blown away by what she had to say and just some parenting thoughts. So make sure you tune in next week. All right, here we go today with Brett and Ella and Riley. Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Good.
Hi. Great.
Good.
Okay, well, listen, you guys are troopers to agree to this, and I'm not sure how much you agreed and how much maybe you were just assigned to this project with me, but I'm really glad you're here because we're going through a series of Know Before You Go, and we already did college, and now we're hitting high school. And so the three of you just graduated from high school, and so I'm going to let you tell a little bit about yourselves, but we'll start with Brett. Brett, who are you? And obviously, I'm not going to tell everybody's last names. We'll give some anonymity maybe, but Brett is mine. So there you go. We'll start with him.
I'm Brett. I'm going to Texas A&M. Just finished high school at Trinity Christian.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, and then Riley?
Hi, I'm Riley. I am going to be a freshman at Texas A&M in the fall as well. And I just finished high school at Trinity Christian with Brett and Ella. But before that, I was in public high school my freshman and sophomore year. So,
awesome. Okay, and Ella?
Okay, I'm Ella, and surprise, I'm also going to Texas A&M. And I'm super excited to start that in the fall. And I went to the same high school as Riley and Brett, and yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't mean to get all Aggies. That was actually didn't realize I did that. So there you go. They're all going to A&M, and they did go to high school together. And there, I love, Riley, that you went to public school for a while, and the others have been in private school. But I wanted people that knew each other and felt comfortable talking. And so I'm going to let y'all represent as much of the high school population as you can. So we'll start with this. Everybody ready? Here's my first question for you. We're talking generally in high school, and now you've all graduated. You're all going to college. What surprised you the most about high school as in comparison to what middle school looked like or junior high?
I would say not everything is that deep. I think in middle school, and this is coming from someone, I guess all of us, we went to a tiny school, like 100 people, but it's not all that deep. We always used to focus on these tiny little things and think everyone is watching us step by step so closely and everything we do is going to get judged. But it's kind of relieving to know you can relax, you can make mistakes, people are going to make mistakes, and everyone around you is human. And so instead of just living in regret about everything, you can just be free to not overthink and just have freedom to be exactly who you want to be and pursue what you want to.
Yeah. And that, as you're saying that, Brett, I'm thinking about, and I'm going to clarify one thing. There's 100 people in their graduating class. So, but the school's bigger than 100, but yeah, it's not very big to your point. I do feel like, tell me if I'm wrong on this, girls, like it feels like in junior high, every misstep is huge and some sort of social debacle if you do something wrong. Whereas in high school, am I accurate to say that people kind of settle into their groups and settle into who they are and what they want to be a part of, and people are maybe a little more forgiving and accepting of that? Is that right?
Yes, I would say so. I would also say that some things like don't change, and that's totally okay. I would say there's still drama. People still don't react great all the time. Like Brett said, people make mistakes. But I would say as you get older and are growing into high school, you kind of become more equipped to handle the situation, so it does become less big of a deal.
Yeah. Talk to me about what was the hardest thing? Can you remember back to freshman year? What was the hardest thing starting high school?
I think for me, the hardest thing is I was starting in a public high school, and it really, your friendships do kind of change. And that was something I wasn't expecting coming from middle school, like having this kind of tight-knit group of girls. But going into high school, like, it's not always consecutive that like your friends are all going to stay together. And so that was probably really, really hard for me because, I kind of lost a little security of a friend circle that I had.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about friends for a minute too. And Brett, we'll get to you, but I wanted to ask you as well about this, Ella. Do you feel like you settled in to like a tight knit friendship group that first year or two of high school? Like, what'd that look like for you?
I would say I did. I kind of had a little bit of that going in, but I feel like for me, it kind of changed later on in high school. And so I think everyone's journey with that is just different. And so while maybe freshman and sophomore year, I would say I had a pretty secure friend group, I would say by senior year, I would say I had the least defined friend group that I could name. But honestly, not being so worried about an exact friend group made me feel so much more content in the individual friendships I was able to find and the ability to branch out. So I would say everyone's is different, but that's just my version, I guess.
Yeah. Does it feel like, from an outsider perspective, does it feel like everybody's found their people and found their group when you're looking around and you feel like you're the only person that hasn't? I mean, was that kind of an experience? And then you realize, like, as you talk to people or get deeper with them, that everyone kind of feels like they're on an island? Or how does that work?
I would definitely say so. I would say there were people that I wasn't that close to at the beginning of high school, and I thought, oh, they're fine. Like, they have their group. they look like they have fun with them. And then later in high school, I became good friends with them and they were like, no, that's actually not what was going on. And so it's really, I feel like it's a good perspective to go into high school with.
I tell the story often about Brett when I think it was probably early in high school, and some of the kids that he had hung out with in the past, great kids, kids we still love, but and that maybe some of the ones I knew their parents well, whatever, I kept saying, you know, why aren't you hanging out with them? Why aren't you? Or this group I heard is doing this, or this group's doing that. And like, I felt like I was just like on you all the time, Brett, about it. Like, what about this? What about that? And do you remember what you said to me at one point?
I think my words were, I don't think you would want me hanging out with those people.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not casting judgment on any individual, but as a group, Brett pointed out to me, he's like, listen, the things you want us to be about and do, I'm not sure that me being with that group is promoting that. And I think that was one of the hardest, not hardest, I think one of the moments in parenting where I was like, oh, I've spent all this time praying for him to get it right and for the Lord to guide him and for him to be wise in friendships. And I'm over here pushing him towards groups and friendships that at that point were not healthy for him. So talk to us about friendships from a guy's perspective, Brett.
I think there's something mutual that needs to happen. Guys are very hard about communicating. And so I didn't do it well. I still don't do it well. But a lot of times, instead of just saying what the problem is, like, I'm not sure that I want to be friends with this type of person, or I'm not sure if I want to be hanging out with these people and doing this kind of stuff, whatever it is. Usually, I don't know if all guys are this way, but most people would probably not say why. They just wouldn't do it. And so it would seem like they're being antisocial, but something that I learned honestly towards the end of high school that I wish I would have known for as far as friends is it's that quote that you are a sum of the five people you hang out with the most. And so I think what the hard part is in high school is you're kind of surrounded by a limited number of people. And high school is so oriented around groups. And so you kind of just naturally get pulled in this one group and you think, well, I want to have the most friends and all this stuff, so I'm going to hang out with this one group. And what's hard for guys is that's the easy way to go and just kind of roll with the flow. But it's really hard to find a group where everyone is the type of people you think you want to be. And like, whatever you want to be, whoever you want to be with, it doesn't matter. It's hard to find a group that's all the same thing. And so what can seem kind of like a failure to parents maybe is that they think their kids aren't hanging out with the big groups or as many people. But I think if you want to hang out with who you want to be like, it's not going to be one big group. It's going to be these small connections, like Ella was saying, to random people, and those small connections are gonna be the community that you probably want to surround yourself with.
Yeah, I think that's a wise word. And that quote you said, you are the sum total of the, what is it, read it one more time, Brett, what was it?
You're the average of the five people you hang out with, basically.
That's basically who you are. And that's a good lesson, I think, for adults too. Like the people that you're closest to, you know, you're influenced by them. And so just being wise in that. Carrie Kampakis said something. I love Carrie Kampakis. If you're raising girls and you're not following Carrie Kampakis, you need to be following Carrie Kampakis. She's incredible. But she said something on a podcast I did with her one time, and she said, she speaks to girls and raising girls. And she said, you can be doing everything right as a girl and still not have good, close friendships. And that's a change from my day. Because in my day, boy, were we a judgmental crew, apparently. But we used to, I mean, I remember even, I probably said this in the last 10 years, that like, if you meet a girl that doesn't have long-term friendships, that's a warning sign. That's a red flag. And I remember even in high school thinking, well, she doesn't have a lot of girlfriends. Well, I love that Carrie Kampakis has just said, it's a new day and age. Like, girl, I mean, Carrie Kampakis would say straight up, girls are meaner now, and it's harder and to find your people. Without, obviously, we're not casting judgment on just where y'all went to high school, but just, you have broad experience with girls your age. Is it right? Like, if you feel like you're doing all things right, or you know girls around you that are doing all the right things that are still struggling to find friendships, is there some grace for that? Is there something you would say to parents to encourage them as if they're raising one of those girls?
Yes, I would say that it's easy to go to the two extremes of maybe the person I'm having a little bit of problems with or trying to be friends with and it's not really working out is the worst person ever and it's all their fault. Or you can go to the extreme of I'm not good enough, I don't deserve friends, all that. But I think kind of when you lean into the Lord and you kind of find yourself somewhere in the middle of maybe, hey, maybe we're not communicating the best, or maybe there's something we could both be doing right. that we're not, or maybe that friend is just in a season where they're distracted or something else is going on. And so I would kind of just say to kind of try to find some middle ground and never go to the extremes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay, let's talk about academic pressure. I know that you guys are high achieving. I know all of you guys are going to college, and that's great. You went to college prep school, and that's great. And I also know that that's not the journey for all kids, and I think that is fantastic too. Wherever the Lord wants people to be, we want them to be. And some that's college, some it's not. And I think that will be the case in my house. I don't know that all three of mine will end up in college. That's great. But we're just talking because the three of you are headed to college. Let's talk about that academic pressure. School's hard, and it's different levels of hard for different people and different things that you face. And so how did you deal with that pressure? I would say especially junior year, right? When ACT scores, SAT scores, getting in the right schools. How'd you deal with that?
I would say the biggest thing for me was really just turning to the Lord in that scenario and having to like really wrestle and understand that like my identity is not wrapped up in my ACT score or my grade or anything like that, or if I get into a college that I want. And you just kind of have to like take a step back and realize that like the Lord's extended you grace. And so your life is not just going to be completely over if you've tried like 5 times for an ACT score and it's just not there. And I think that parents don't always see the like academic pressure that we really do face because it looks like maybe we're not trying or whatever it is. But when you combine that with all the social activities plus the academic standards, it can get to be a lot. And it's like not even your fault necessarily that you're not performing to where you want. And maybe that's just like the path the Lord has for you. But
Yeah.
I'm gonna chip in on this because I feel like I got a million things to say about it, but I think one of the hardest part is this generation, and it's gonna keep getting worse, but it's so competitive in everything, and it seems like everyone around you just it seems like you have to be the best, and anything less than that is not good enough. And so I think a lot of what my struggle was in high school was things didn't come very natural for me. I had to study. I mean, it got super unhealthy because I thought I had to compare with all these people around me, and we were surrounded by some really smart people, and that if I wasn't doing just as good as them, I was failing. So I'd stay up as late as I could. I'd wake up as early as I could just to try and compensate for that. And I think where it gets really unhealthy is there's discipline, which is great, but it got to the point where it was shame about myself. And I think this is where parents may understand this less because of how competitive it is. But when we start to have as much shame about ourselves, that leads us to think there's a problem with us, which means there's a problem with the one who created us. And we know God created us all very uniquely. And I think society teaches us to focus on the one or two things that aren't great about ourselves. And I think what's really hard in high school is if we focus on that too much, we think that we were created wrong. And we have a very hard time focusing on what was created very strong about ourselves.
yeah. Tell us something, and it can be something that we did well or not well in our house, Brett, in terms of just the pressures of academics and getting into college. And is it something, did you feel, I'll ask you a specific question, did you feel pressured by us to meet a certain standard? What could we have done better, or what did we do well?
I can answer this freely without getting in trouble.
Oh, for sure. I mean, heck, you're going to
Okay.
college. What do you got to lose?
I would say I always felt pressure with my older sister Kate. She went to the University of Texas. She was super smart. All of my teachers knew her, and she's like, I mean, I hate saying this, but she's kind of a good person, but she's super disciplined, she's smart. Everyone really liked her. And so even in high school, I felt all this pressure, and all these teachers were probably like, oh, it's Yanoff, he's gonna be great. And then they're like, oh, he's nothing like his sister. And I think she's also really good at communicating. And I mean, even today, I don't communicate well to y'all. And I think y'all never fully understood in high school how hard it was for me. And like, even though I can understand what I was always stressing about was super unrealistic and unnecessary, but y'all never understood the fact that, or not never, but I think a lot of times where we got misunderstandings were I was feeling super stressed about something that I shouldn't have been, and it was hard for y'all to understand why I would feel that way. And so it turned me to just get quiet, feel like I'm the one who's the failure. And so I think honestly, just feeling unheard in the household is probably something.
No, I can appreciate that. And I figured out with you along the way, and girls, I don't know if y'all had this in your house too, but I just over and over and over, Mike, and I would say to Brett, like, we don't care about your grades. Like, we know the Lord has a spot for you. Like, we trust his plan and he will put you where he wants you. But the reality is he still had a test the next day, right? And so it could come off dismissive versus saying, wow, that must be really hard. And so I think there's that thin line, and I like that you're speaking into that. I'm going to fast forward everybody a little bit on Brett just because I know him the best of this group. But Brett did follow Kate through, and what you say about Kate, your sister, is true. What we now know, though, at the end of the year, at the end of the senior year, Brett won award after award of character, award after award by the that the teachers picked, that the honorable baseball award, all the ones that you want your kid to get. And I say that not to be like, oh, look at us, we got it. No, but for Brett, when school was really hard for Brett, and it has been for years, to really just have the character and honor. He won awards his sister never got. And so it's just a reminder to him and to all of us as parents, like God creates all of them uniquely and differently. And it may look different ways. It seems successful on one level for one kid, but there's a different level of success, a different margin to consider with other kids. And they're just all unique. And so I just love how the Lord kind of spoke that through your life is when you felt like you were chasing after Kate's stuff and how the Lord just spoke into your life and saying, no, like you've made your way. And so I'm grateful for that. Okay, girls, social media. Let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, I feel like we've beat the dead horse on social media in general. As parents, we're trying to understand it, figure it out. But I have you here, so I want to know just the reality of it from your perspective. Is it just day in and day out hard feeling like you're not included? Is it there are some positives? Like, how did it play for you on just the day-to-day level?
Well, I have not a lot to say because I really didn't get it until senior year. And so, I mean, looking back, of course, I did all the stalking once I got it. I was like, man, if I would have seen all this while I was struggling with friendships, I mean, high school's hard without it, honestly. Friendships are hard without it, but I think if I had seen it probably would have made it a lot worse.
Was that a parental decision or was that an Ella decision to not have social media till high school or oh, senior year?
It was a parental decision until freshman year. It was like you can't have it until you're freshman. And then after that, I was like, well, I mean, not a lot of my friends had it at the time, but slowly they started to get it. And I just never really felt the need to until senior year when I was like, well, I'm about to leave all these people. Like, I should probably keep up with them. But I'm thinking about deleting it soon because I honestly just am not a fan.
Yeah. Would you do it differently? Like, would you change anything on that? Would you wish you would have had it earlier to navigate it? Do you wish you would have never? Like, where are you on it now?
I'm honestly okay with the fact that I didn't have it. I mean, maybe I don't know how to handle it as well, but, and I've heard on Sidetracked, Miss McFadden talk about it, but Screens In is amazing because it just gives me a time limit and it just helps me to kind of section out my time and not doom scroll all day on it. So I wouldn't change anything.
She's and for you that may not listen to Sidetracked, the other podcast I have with Heather Fadian, and Heather is always on Screens In, and it is basically time limits on your social media. So yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What about you, Riley? Thoughts on social media?
I'm kind of the opposite of Ella. I got my first social media like probably probably in middle school, which looking back, like I don't blame my parents at all for giving me that because that's just the culture that I was surrounded with being in public school. But I hate to say it, but it definitely had more of a negative impact on my high school experience. And I would say that like above all, it was really the comparison aspect. I think when I was like a freshman and sophomore, it looked a little bit more like I would compare my external appearance, or was I as pretty as her, or maybe my clothes, like did the clothes I was wearing, were they like trendy or whatever it was. I think the Lord kind of convicted my heart on that. And so I think I struggled less with that as I got older, but getting older and especially coming to a private school, the comparison of like seeing everyone hang out together. And when you're new to a high school, it can like hurt because those are the people that you think might be your friends. Then you look, you open up Instagram and it's like, oh shoot, they're all together and I wasn't invited. Mm-hmm. And I think that along with like Snapchat location can be really hard for some people. I don't know if I'm the biggest fan of social media, but I do think there are some positives. I mean, Ella and I like laugh a lot about the reels we send each other. So
that is true.
I would say that's kind of fun.
The reels, yeah. Brett, what about as a guy? One, were you allowed to have social media? Did you choose to have social media? What do you have today? And do guys struggle like girls do on it? That's kind of what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I would say, I wasn't allowed to have it till freshman year, and I did get it freshman year. And I think guys struggle with it, but way differently than girls. I think social media focuses on the 1% of life. So politically, it's always the 1%, or like, I think a lot of guys are similar. They follow influencers that work out a ton, or people that pursue this passion or art, and it focuses on the 1%, like the best of the best. And what got hard for me is when I started really getting into working out, you would see all these people on social media that are insanely giant, and like, you know, you'd see all these super strong and fit people and you're like, oh, well, like I want to be like that. It can't be that hard if all these people are posting about it. But what they never post on social media is the journey. And I think this is a good like biblical lesson, is it never shows the journey. And so sometimes you'll see these people in their transform stage, and I'm taking working out as an example. You'll see them at the closer towards the end goal where they're super in shape or they're super fit, but you never saw the journey where they went downhill or they weren't where they wanted to be. And so I think a lot of times it would lead you to think you're never going to be good enough, or back to the, you'll never be heard because you're not that 1%, but it never shows the rough times that people go through.
Yeah. Which is kind of social media, right? You're seeing it's the highlight reel. And yeah. Brett, you have Instagram. Have you, I should know this. Hello. Great parenting over here. You don't have Snapchat, do you?
No, I don't even know. Pretty sure I could right now, but I don't really have a desire for Snapchat.
I mean, I think you can probably do whatever you want when you go to college. But do you have any other social media? You've only had Instagram in your life, right?
I had Twitter X for a little bit, but okay. I don't have that anymore. And I deleted Instagram. I deleted it and add it back a lot.
I'm really actually mad about it because I've been sending him a million reels and I know he's not getting them, but it'll just have to do for now.
That's right. Okay, let's talk about faith for a minute. I think all of you come from strong families of faith, and so I know it's important in your families. What, as you're going into college, obviously we're all praying over you guys that you make strong faith decisions going into school, but we'll see where that lands, and we'll do another podcast later. But we trust the Lord has his hand on y'all. What about through high school, though? Was there a point where you kind of faith became your own? Were there faith struggles you had to work with? Just work through, which I'm sure there were. Give us just some thoughts on what that's looked like and quiet times, anything that kind of worked for you, didn't work for you, some things maybe your parents did right or wrong. I'm just kind of giving you a wide open question. Hit what you want on faith.
So part of my testimony is kind of throughout high school. Obviously, I came from a great Christian background and grown up in church my whole life. But throughout high school, and my testimony ties to school really strongly, which is, I think, is unique. But I think a lot of it for me was a struggle in high school because I focused so hard on trying to be as good as everyone else in school and sports and all this other stuff. And I learned a rough lesson junior year that we can't depend on ourselves. And this is not just high school. This is for all. Life is not going to slow down. There's no slowing down in life. It's going to be go, go, go until we die. And I think everyone's tendency is to keep pushing through with themselves. And just if you work harder, if you wake up earlier, you go to bed later, you can just get it done. And at some point, all I was pursuing was baseball, and I finally tore my elbow and had to get surgery. And that's the second that my faith grew so much, is because everything around me shut down for a few months, and all I had was time to spend with the Lord. And I think my faith was shaped, and like now I can define it as you can only get through everything life has to offer with God. And so until you pursue Him with everything you got, it's not going to be enough to rely on yourself. You don't have enough strength to get through what life has to offer.
Yeah. And that's a really, I think, a strong parenting word for, I mean, obviously Mike and I would have done anything for him to not have to have a major UCL surgery and miss most of a baseball year and all the things, especially when baseball is what you love. But then we want you to know the Lord better. And if that was the price for you to know the Lord better, right? Then that's a price we needed to be willing to pay. But in the moment, it just felt like almost like the Lord abandoned and what was going on. And so I love that perspective. Girls, what about faith from your side of things? What did it look like in high school?
For me, it was kind of going into high school. A part of my testimony is that the friendships that I did have, they weren't really pursuing a walk with the Lord. And so that meant that they were making a lot of decisions and just choices that weren't things that I aligned with. But I would say that as a freshman, I didn't really have like a personal, deep relationship with the Lord. Like I had confessed and like taken on Christ as my Savior, but I wasn't really walking with the Lord. And so like experiencing that loneliness and kind of losing those people close to me, I think ultimately that, and then also I was seeking a lot of my identity in like my external appearance about myself, and that's what I turned to. And after I realized that like these friends have failed me, like my physical, my flesh has failed me, like the only way I have to go is like to turn to the Lord. And so even though I think I would never like wish people to experience what I walked through, I think that that's how I grew to know the Lord like as the Father that He is and actually walk in relationship with Him and spend time with Him daily. And so I think like that's such a blessing. And I feel like a lot of kids in high school kind of have similar stories where it takes some hard things to kind of get them to where they are in their relationship with the Lord today. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that identity is definitely a big thing for me that I felt like I had to learn in high school because, yes, we went to a Christian school, but they're also, and this isn't anyone's specific fault, it just kind of is the way that our culture is in general today, but all these external things define you, like your friends, your grades, your sport, or how you're performing. And so, tending to be more of a perfectionist in some aspects, feeling like I had to achieve to kind of fulfill my identity was just really unhealthy and ended up just not working. And so, I think realizing that the contentment and the rest that I can find, knowing that my identity is constant when it's in the Lord, is so refreshing. And no, I wouldn't have loved to gone through some of the stuff I did, and realizing that some of these worldly things are going to fail me, that wouldn't have been anybody's choice. But I think going into college, knowing my identity is going to be a really big thing. And I think, I don't know, I'm really glad that I have that going into college.
It may have been Carrie Compax as well. I'm like a Carrie Compax quoter today, but I think it was her that said the number one thing you want for your kid before they go to college is you want them to know who they are. And I remember thinking, yeah, I want you to know who you are and whose you are. Like those are the things that matter, and all the rest of it, like, you know, it's neither here nor there. So, yeah. Okay, let's talk dating for just a second. Guys, let me drop the bomb. Brett and Ella are dating. And they've been dating 18 months. Kidding. Brett gets on me because
Real
of him.
funny.
They've been dating. Y'all been dating 3 years now. So you started dating your sophomore year, right? Yeah. And
Summer,
the
yeah.
summer before sophomore year. Okay.
You don't know the date?
Oh, sure, Brett.
What the
No,
heck?
I was asking if you know it.
Oh, do I know the date?
It was literally like 2 weeks ago.
I thought it was in June. I don't know. I can't remember,
Wow.
guys. Sorry.
Okay.
But here's a question for you. What do you think, either you guys or just in general, what do you think you've done well in dating, and what do you think is something you've had to work through? Or just people in general, what's gone well in dating and what's hard with dating in high school?
I'll say this here. I'll say this real quick, and then you probably have way better advice. But I think something we both did really well is we weren't out looking for it. Like, I know Ella didn't plan on dating at all in high school, and I wasn't sure if I'll date or anything, but we didn't go out and look for it. And I think that's where people get off. And we have plenty of friends who have gone through dating. And when you go out and look for someone to date, is typically when you don't find someone who's good for you. And I think what we did well was we weren't looking for a date. It just seemed like the Lord kept pulling us closer and closer. And throughout many points in our relationship, even before 1 year, like we kept finding, like we were being affirmed this was a healthy relationship for us. And it wasn't like we were just searching for a status and just to say that we've been able to date someone or we go out on dates and we post about all this stuff. But when you're able to be drawn to someone else, and feel like you're growing closer to the Lord, even if it doesn't end in marriage, or if it does, it doesn't matter. If you feel like you're being pulled closer to the Lord and you can feel Him leading the relationship, I think that's when it's the right time to start dating.
It's really hard to navigate as a parent. Kate didn't date anyone in high school, so it was my first run at this. And so, yeah, y'all have had to be patient with us. Riley, I don't even know. Have you dated someone in high school? I should probably ask that before now. No.
No.
Well, I love that because neither did Kate. Now, I didn't really date people that much in high school. So, question on that. On the other side of it, does it feel like everyone's dating someone and you are not the one? Or walk us through that, like just from the other perspective of it.
I think it can at times, especially in a small private school, when people are like in relationships, it's kind of like thrown in front of you. And so I think it can feel like everyone is. But in all honesty, like I've had times where it's hard, but it's also like Brett was saying, if the Lord's not like guiding you in that direction, like you striving after something that's not within his plan or his will is ultimately like not going to benefit you. And so I think that's been a great reminder, and at least in like my own life, is that I don't need to be striving for that. And I think a lot of girls find their worth like kind of wrapped up in that too. And so that's where things can get really complicated. And so I think it's like finding your identity and worth outside of a dating relationship, and then two people who are secure in their worth and identity coming together in a relationship, I think is where I've seen it work out the best.
Okay, let's wrap up with these questions. I'm going to ask you this. A couple of you can chime in on this one, and then I've got one more. But what do you wish your parents had understood better about what high school was like? And I think that you, Brett, you kind of hit on that. But anyone else want to say, there's parents listening to this that have a kid about to go to high school, or maybe a kid that's in high school that isn't communicating well, or they're struggling with, like, help give us a word on that. Like, what do you wish that your parents would have known?
I would say, honestly, and this is going to sound, obviously, my parents are not perfect, but I do think that in seasons where I was struggling with friends, I was able, and I'm an only child, so that also does make it easier. I was able to kind of let them be my people, and something that was uncomfortable for me, but that I really, really appreciate now is them kind of making me communicate with them. And obviously, we're close. I think because I'm an only child, we're closer than a lot of people are to their parents, and it just happens to be that way. So it wasn't weird for them to kind of force me to share my feelings, which was weird for my personality because I'm not a feelings person, but it definitely helped. And so I would say them just being available and listening and wanting to hear my feelings, even though it was uncomfortable and I didn't like it most of the time, it really made it a lot easier to get through some of those hard times.
Yeah. And I'm going to say something about your parents too. I know them well, love them like my own, and they'll hear this too. But I will say this, your parents are really good at staying grounded. especially in front of you, but just grounded in truth and just being a support, but not getting on the roller coaster ride. And now they might have said it to other people, or sometimes your mom would say to me like, oh, I can't believe this is going on. This is so hard. But I feel like they really were steady with you. And that seems like that was really support for you, that they didn't make it bigger than it needed to be.
No, for sure. And I think, especially with friends, I felt like they were really good. When situations got hard, they were really good about saying, hey, how is this making you feel? It's okay that you feel like you're hurting from this friendship or the situation. But they always came back to advice that I really love and I'm probably going to live by for the rest of my life. Like, we don't cut people off. Always kind. They don't have to be your best friend, but even if this isn't going to be your best friend, like, you're still going to love them and be kind to them. And I think that they were just really solid and giving good advice.
Yeah. Always kind. Man, that's good advice. What about you, Riley? Things maybe you wish your parents knew, or something like Ella said, like advice that they gave that just worked well.
I don't know if it's necessarily advice that they had given me, but I think just feeling like in my home, when I come home, like understanding that the home is kind of like a safe place. And especially when I was new to school, like, it's really overwhelming to have no one know who you are. And so to come home and be able to have my parents as that safe haven, and them like understanding if I was exhausted or if I was just tired from the day, like, I wasn't mad at them or I wasn't upset at them. Like, it was me not being able to process like just the extensive day that I'd had. And they always just like embraced me with grace, I would say, and just kind of understood that, like, it's okay. Like, it's hard what you're going through, but like, we're here for you. And they always like directed me back to the Lord, which I'm really grateful for. But I think I would say just making the home like a safe haven and like being open about what was hard or what was great, like sharing about your day too. So
yeah. Brett, do you want to answer that question, or do you want me to hit the last one?
I'll just get the last one.
Okay. I was really giving him that opening, guys, to really lay it out there, the great advice we'd given him over the years, and he did not take it.
Yeah.
No. Awkward. Okay, great. Okay, so then if you could go back and tell your freshman year self something, what would that be? If you could whisper a little something to your freshman year self now, knowing what you know, what would you want him to know?
I would just say pursue God very strong from the beginning and find your Christian community very, very soon. And I think freshman year is very overwhelming because it's hard. Like, we're not going to lie about it. It's very difficult freshman year. It's a huge turnaround from what middle school is. But the things we tend to like think are going to be very hard, we're obviously going to spend more time doing that. And so for a lot of people, it's going to be sports, because I know that's a whole thing. Like, you got to be on the varsity team and all that, and it's going to be grades. But if you just pursue Christ very strong from the beginning and not have to slowly turn all that around, the rest that you need will come. And like, understand that our strength alone isn't enough. So if we, you know, don't search for joy and all these other things like grades, friendships, all this stuff, if we just pursue Christ from the beginning, the rest of what we are looking for will come in different ways.
Yeah, it's a good word.
I would just say to try your very best to set your expectations aside, because the Lord has something for you and it may not be what you expect. Like, whether you expect it to be the best 4 years of your life or the worst, it's not going to be what you expect. And even from people around you, from siblings or parents, don't kind of take your expectations from them. My mom left high school with this amazing broad group of friends that she still to this day hangs out with. And I just kind of assumed that, oh, that's what my high school experience is going to be like. And I'm leaving high school with dating a great guy for 3 years, but only a few really close friends, I would say. But that's totally okay. But I think sometimes you go in with these big expectations of how it's supposed to be, but that's really just not true. And so I would just say, be open to what the Lord is going to have for you.
That's good. Riley?
I would say just knowing like your value and your worth is not in any of like the achievements or external things that high school tries to throw at you, and really just rooting that in the Lord. And I think like I was always thinking of Psalm 103, but it just says like, the Lord says you're forgiven. He's redeemed your life from the pit. Like, He satisfies you with good. And so I think just remembering that, like you're redeemed, forgiven, satisfied, and all of it comes from the Lord, and you don't have to seek that in anything in high school.
Wow. That's wise words, you guys. Listen, I just like to say you're miles ahead of where Cynthia Yanoff was coming out of high school. I'm glad nobody interviewed me because my goodness. So thank you for doing this and being honest. Thank you for helping us kind of understand high school. And you guys, I'm excited for you all to go to college. I didn't realize we're all going to the same college. I guess that didn't hit me, but we will be praying blessings over that. And thanks for doing this.
Yes, of course. Thanks
Thank
for having
you.
me.
I mean, how great are those three, right? I'm so proud of them for doing this. And you should have heard them. They're so funny after the podcast. They're like, cut that out. Take this out. It was terrible. I shouldn't have answered that way. And you know what? They did really great. And when you're put on the spot like that, it isn't easy. So I'm so proud of them. I mentioned this earlier. I'll mention again. Next week, we have Stephanie Martin coming on and talking about the junior high years, but it is applicable to all of us. And so please, please hear me when I say you want to hear next week's show as well. Hey, will you take a minute and forward these shows to your friends that have maybe college kids? Send them last week's, or high school kids going to college, maybe this week's, junior high, it'll be next week's. Just help us continue to grow the show. That would be such a blessing to me. And also, leave a review. I would love it. Please, please, please. All right, you guys, thanks for being a part of the Mesmerize family.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.